It's not about proving you can do it once.
The long wait has ended. After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
It's about showing you can do it again.
Three ball, why not? Cash Money Middleton.
And Giannis down the lane in a man slam.
It's Holiday. Floats it off the window and good.
Let's talk Bucks.
We're going to listen to whatever, you know, Bud wants us to do, and we're going to go out there and compete.
Game recaps, analysis, and previewing every second of playoff basketball for the reigning champs. This is Bucks at 6 with Alex Stroth on ESPN Wisconsin and streaming on Wisconsin On Demand.
Yeah, it's Bucks at 6 on your Friday, wrapping up the week as we slander Godsmack a little bit more on your Friday edition of Bucks at 6. Game 3 should be going on right now. I shouldn't be on the air. We should be watching Bucks basketball, but instead, love, hate, sex, pain is being played at the Fiserv Forum. Alex Stroth with you here on Bucks at 6 till 7 o'clock. We'll talk about a plethora of things, right? We'll probably slander Godsmack a little bit more. We'll talk Game 3. We'll be joined by our buddy Greg Matzik in about 15 minutes. Talk about his excursion to Boston, Massachusetts. As Greg Stazel's leaving the studio I'm in, Boston native. Good to see you, Greg. Have a good night. We'll also dive into Aaron Rodgers, who is, of course, a part owner of the Milwaukee Bucks. As Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider, joined Chris Larson, most importantly, and a little bit less importantly, Homer and Tony, which is the name of the program. You hear 2-4 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Joined in studio, was it Wednesday, Chris, that Adam Schefter joined you?
It was Wednesday, yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, got it. And he posed a really fun question at the end, which I missed yesterday, so I want to get to it today. Because I was really intrigued by Adam Schefter asking Homer and Tony a question. So I want to get to that. Let's hear from Adam Schefter from Wednesday on Homer and Tony.
Giannis is going to have a big game in Game 3. Hey, maybe Aaron Rodgers will get a ring this way again. So the Bucks have more rings than the Bucks.
The only one he'll get.
Packers, right? Did he get a ring last year when they won? I would imagine he did.
Of course he did, yes. He's a minority.
So if they win, Aaron Rodgers will have more
rings than the Bucks.
More rings than the Bucks in the Packers.
Yes, that is accurate.
Brutal.
We'll close on that.
Close on that. Okay, so I posted the poll on Twitter. You can find it at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison, and at Alex_Stroth on Twitter. Which team will Aaron Rodgers win more rings with? The Packers as quarterback or the Bucks as part owner? He currently has one with each. So you can go vote on that. I full-heartedly believe, unfortunately, as big of a Packers and Bucks fan as I am, I full-heartedly believe it will be with the Bucks because I think they will again, win a title in the next couple of years. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers' ownership stake will end when his NFL career ends. So I believe it'll be with the Bucks. But want to hear from you. Maybe you've got high hopes for the Packers this year. 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-3776. That's the First Midwest Bank talk and text line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank. And that's where we'll start off tonight. So Aaron Rodgers, will he win more rings with the Packers as quarterback or the Bucks as part owner? We will dive into that throughout the show tonight. We'll ask Greg Matzik that as well when he joins us in about 10 minutes. But I do want to talk about this long, weird three-day layoff. As we've talked about all week here on Bucks at 6, it is odd, right? Like, you play Tuesday, you don't play again till Saturday. And there was no games yesterday in the NBA. I just found it odd that they just didn't have the Bucks and Celtics play yesterday and play Game 4 maybe Sunday. Or, you know, it's just weird to me, this whole setup. And I'm glad I'm not alone in this, right? Because Bobby Portis and Grayson Allen met with the media yesterday. They both found it odd. We'll hear from them here in a second. But I'm just bothered by the whole idea. And I get, right, you can't predict when things are going to happen several months ahead of time, right? I'm sure this wonderful Godsmack concert has been planned for several months. So I get we can't move it. But it's just weird that we've got 3 days of layoff. And this helps the Celtics more than it helps anybody in the series, right? They're getting the Defensive Player of the Year back. who they did not have in Game 2. That, of course, being Marcus Smart. He gets an extra day or even two extra days of rest because Godsmack is playing at the Fiserv Forum. If you're going to the Godsmack concert tonight, I want you to give me a call. The number is 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-3776. That's the First Midwest Bank talk and text line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank. I've seen Godsmack. I like Godsmack. I just don't like the fact that they're ruining the NBA playoffs for me. I shouldn't say ruining, but they're bothering the NBA playoffs for me. They're making it more difficult for me to watch my beloved Milwaukee Bucks. So it's nothing necessarily against Godsmack. It's just the fact I have to wait 4 days to watch the Milwaukee Bucks play basketball in the NBA playoffs. Now, what does excite me, despite the long layoff, what does excite me about tomorrow's game is that I feel like this is really where, for the Bucks and Celtics, this is really where the NBA playoffs begin, right? You've got a knotted up series through two games. You're playing a best of five series, essentially, from this point forward, beginning tomorrow. And it actually kind of, and we talked about the similarities between this series and the semifinal series in the Eastern Conference the Bucks played last year against the Brooklyn Nets. We talked about the similarities a bit yesterday and the day prior, where Game 2, the Bucks just get trampled. They just get beat bad, as they did against the Nets last year. And the scores were almost identical, which was the weirdest part about it. But, yeah, so it just feels like this tomorrow is where the tune-up begins. It's where everybody's eyes begin to wander to this game and this series. Because realistically, this should be the best series of this round in the NBA playoffs. As good as Grizzlies-Warriors looks, this is better. This is the best series in the NBA playoffs right now. And, you know, games one and two, yeah, they were fun. They were fine. Game two was not that fun, especially if you're a Bucks fan like I am. But it finally feels like the NBA playoffs get to an unofficial official start. Shout out to Scalzone Brust, who was on before us here on these stations. I'm looking forward to it. But this long layoff has actually made me more interested in the NBA playoffs, as odd as that sounds. So let's hear from Grayson Allen, because he's kind of in my boat, right? It's just weird to have this long of a layoff between games in the NBA playoffs. Grayson Allen talked about that yesterday after a Bucks walkthrough. Here's Grayson Allen from yesterday.
It feels a little weird, but gives you time to prepare in between games. And it is it's an early game, so you got a few days to get ready for that too, which is nice.
Grayson Allen sounds so unamused right there. Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's kind of nice. It's kind of fine. It's kind of whatever. It's kind of cool. It's kind of sweet. Like, he just sounds so unbelievably unamused by the fact, like, I wonder if this changes momentum at all, right? Like, does the fact that you have to wait over 72 hours to play another playoff basketball game, does that change momentum? Does that change drive? Does that change ambition at all? Right, I'm by no means an NBA player. And Chris Larson, who's running the show. This is no shot at you, Chris, but you are also by no means an NBA player. But do you think this long layoff has a mental effect on not even the Bucks, but the Bucks and the Celtics, or do you just kind of think it's part of the business? Where are you at, Chris?
I think it's part of the business, but obviously they would probably want to play, you know. For me, I'd rather have the games where it's play one game, next day you talk about it, next game after that. So it's every other day you play the game. This long of a layoff, right. I'm sure the professionals, they've been through this before with having long layoffs. It might be a little different since it's the postseason. But no, I don't think it's really going to affect them in a sense. I think once they get in front of that raucous crowd at Fiserv Forum, I think the Bucks are going to be able to, I think they're going to shoot a lot better in this game than they did in game two. And I just think the overall atmosphere, once they actually, I think talk about it is one thing, but once they actually get in front of the raucous crowd, it's going to be at Fiserv Forum tomorrow afternoon. I think it's just going to go out the window in terms of all the supposed, you know, rust or layoff, you know, stuff like that, you know, that they're going to have to supposedly deal with. So,
yeah. So, Chris, how much money would I have to give you to attend Godsmack tonight? That's my follow-up.
How much money would you do? Tell me. Oh, man.
I'll buy you a ticket, but I will. I also assume you would need to be compensated.
Yes, yes, yes.
Show.
Where would I be sitting is a question as well I have.
I'm putting you right in the mosh pit, Chris. Right, you're going to go mosh with people. You're going to go running in the death circle or the circle of death, whatever they call it.
I'll
rock
do it
shows.
For,
you're going to be hitting people like a linebacker.
I do it for $500. Yeah,
$500
yep.
to go to a concert I'm paying for.
Yes, I'm not a big concert guy.
Chris.
So I'm not a big concert guy.
Really?
No. I can't remember the last concert I went to. I'm definitely going to need some compensation from you. Significant compensation.
Significant, apparently. Okay, well, enjoy your night, Chris, because you're not going to see Godsmack at the Pfizer Forum, which apparently I just looked it up. Doors are already open. The event already started, so I guess I'm too late on that. Should have asked you that yesterday. Would have given you the afternoon off. So long layoff, as Grayson Allen alluded to, and it is weird. We'll talk more about that here as we roll on Bucks at 6 here on ESPN Wisconsin, 94.5 ESPN in Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN in Madison. 800-990-3776 is your way into the show. You can give me a text. What's your expectations for tomorrow? Where are you going to be tomorrow? It's supposed to be really nice out tomorrow. I expect, to my point earlier, right? Like, I called this, Chris, where I feel like the playoffs really get going. This is the first really nice weather day we've had, too, with a Bucks game, let alone a Bucks home game. I think tomorrow is going to be the first time the Deer District is packed. All postseason long. So
plus,
also, I think that's another reason.
It's an afternoon game as well, too. So a lot of people are going to be out there because in the afternoon. So it's. I don't know if they like the afternoon game better or the night game better. Where are you at with that? I mean, I'd rather have the early game and not only get out of the way, but then at least you got your night then too as well. So you got the 2:30 start. So the game will probably go until about 5 or so, and you still got your night rest of the night to go out and have fun as well.
I don't know, Chris. I think I'm a night guy, right? Like, I like the 7 p.m. tips. I understand, you know, I understand why people like the 2:30 tips. And I completely get it for the Deer District side of it, right? Like, the day drinking's going, you wake up, you crack a beer, and you're rolling, right? Like, that is what's going on tomorrow if you're going to the Deer District. So if you're headed to the Deer District tomorrow, I'd also love to hear from you either on the text or phone line. Again, 800-990-3776 for that. I'm interested in what your plans are for tomorrow, because like I said, this is really the first nice day we get here in this postseason, as obviously it's earlier than it was last year because it was not a normal season last year. So I imagine, Chris, that the Deer District's going to be packed, the brews are going to be flowing, people are going to be partying all day. I think it's going to be a blast. This is an exciting time, and I feel like this is really, we're not only this series, but the NBA playoffs feel like, all right, we're really in full gear now. Like, we're in full drive. It's awesome from this point forward. We might get a sweep in this first round, which we'll talk about later in around the NBA. But it really feels like now the competitive balance is here, and, you know, there's just no easy games anymore. It's just all pure entertainment from this point forward. So I think tomorrow, Deer District's going to be packed, and the NBA playoffs really get going. We will chat with my buddy and our buddy, Greg Matzik, friend of the show, next from 620 WTMJ. He was out in Boston for game 1 and 2. He's back in Milwaukee for game 3 tomorrow. He's been at every Bucks playoff game so far. So I've got so many questions for him, from food to scenery to basketball. We'll do it next. It's Bucks at 6 here on ESPN Wisconsin. Godsmack currently rocking out at the Fiserv Forum, which means Game 3 for the Milwaukee Bucks and Boston Celtics. Not till tomorrow. 3 days of layoff, which is probably a good thing for our next guest, who I imagine suffered from a little bit of jet lag following the Milwaukee Bucks out in Boston. He's the sports director, and you hear him on Wisconsin's Afternoon News on 620 WTMJ, the great Greg Matzik with us. Greg, how are you? Are you recovered from a little bit of jet lag over the week?
All good, man. This is the grind. It's the second season. You got to be ready for it. You get your rest in the regular season. 2 off days, 3 off days, 1 off day. Doesn't matter, brother. It's the playoffs. You got to be ready.
Let's go, Greg. You got me ready to run through a brick wall right now. So tell me about Boston. I don't know if you've been there before, if you've spent extensive time out there. Me and the lady took a trip out there at the beginning of April. Love the city. And obviously the Bucks stole a game. So good trip for you?
Boston is credible. It's incredible. It's one of the great American cities in our union. It is not easy to find your way around. There is no grid system. The streets are as if somebody threw spaghetti noodles in the air. When they landed, they said, okay, that'll be Pierce Street, and that one will be Washington Avenue. And it's even your GPS gets kind of screwed up. Like, it's just like you can get turned around in a minute. But that's part of the charm and the intrigue. It's busy, but it's not chaotic. And if you like Italian food, just go to the North End, plunk yourself down a 3-square-block area that's like 60 Italian restaurants. It's heaven, man, if you like food, and good sports done as well. So I thought the crowd was into it, really engaged, very much on top of the Bucks, and on Grayson Allen, Boo and Giannis. Like, they were into it, as you might expect. So I think it's important to bring that energy back at Fiserv here this weekend and on Monday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I went and saw a Celtics-Pacers game while I was out there, and the guy sitting next to me in his very thick accent could not stop, let's just say, cursing about Kyrie Irving, who was not even in the building that night. Were they still yelling about Kyrie, or are they on to the next round finally? The Boston fans, that is.
So my media seat was in, it's kind of a corner section, and there were 5 rows of media seating, and I had the 5th row. So behind me, there was a little space, but there were fans. And I could hear the fans very clearly in the conversations they were having. And they were throwing F-bombs at Giannis before he even took the floor for warm-ups. He wasn't even on the floor. And it was F Giannis, F this, effing stop Giannis. Anytime you get to the free throw line, F you Giannis. Like, it didn't stop. And then this was game number one. And then there was a point, I think it was when Giannis notched his triple-double, so he got that 10th assist. It turned from all of that, of what I described, to F, Giannis is ridiculous. Like, they started to get on, like, you know what I mean? Like, they got it. They understand how good Giannis is. But maybe it's just part of their vernacular. Like, it just F-bombs for accent or whatnot. But that was my big takeaway from the fans.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I mean, they are incredibly passionate. It's one of the great American sports cities for a reason, right? So they get into it. But as well, Greg, they realize you can't hate Giannis, right? Like, it's impossible to hate this guy, even if he's beating up your team. So at least I can respect the turnaround from the Boston faithful.
The guy they hate is Grayson Allen. I don't think that should be a surprise. Like there were boos toward Giannis in whatever. You're always going to have that. Nobody's booing Drew Holiday. Like, everybody I talked to, overheard talking, man, the guy would be great on our team. Like, they love themselves some Drew Holiday. Grayson sneezes and people are booing him. Like, didn't they watch the Bulls series? Like, don't you guys get it? Like, this actually fuels him to some regard. But he was public enemy number one. I didn't expect that. Not that I expect a love fest for the guy, but he was public enemy number one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not shocking at all. Greg Matzik, sports director at 620 WTMJ, with us here on Bucks at 6 on ESPN Wisconsin. So, Greg, I got to ask you, you mentioned you made a stop at Little Italy, I assume, but when I was out in Boston, man, it was all about the crab cakes. It was the first time I had them. I fell in love with them. Please tell me you got some crab cakes and you enjoyed the hell out of it.
I did not have any crab cakes. I had
Greg.
Several pasta dishes. I had Mike's Pastry, which is an institution.
Okay.
I had a lobster roll from Pauly's North End. Now, if anybody listening is a fan of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, which I am, on the Food Network, that was a location, Pauly's North End, right next to a great restaurant called Neptune Oyster, which is delicious. I do like crab cakes, but I'm going to be honest. I've had them in Boston, and I've had them in New Orleans. My honest assessment is that the New Orleans crab cake is superior to the Boston crab cake.
Hmm. Interesting. I've never been to New Orleans, so I guess I'll take your word for it. But that's disappointing, given that
you would do very well there. You would do very well in New Orleans. You would enjoy that. It smells a little bit. It's funky, but you would like it.
It smells a little bit. Well, I like to party and I like food, so, like, of course I'd do well in New Orleans, right? Like, that's what goes down there. So. Let's talk a little basketball. I guess we can get to that now. And that would be, you know, I want to throw out yesterday's poll question at you because I've asked Ben Brust and Justin Garcia this question this week. They've had the same answer, so I'm curious what yours would be. Which Bucks starter do you believe needs to step up the most in game number three?
Ooh, starter. I think it's Giannis.
There you go.
I think it's Giannis. I know he had a triple-double in game one, and I didn't think he played terribly well in game two, in the first half especially. Second half, he kind of got in freight train mode. But if Giannis is what Giannis typically is, that's a problem for the Celtics. And if Giannis is what Giannis typically is, the Bucks aren't making just three three-point shots. They can beat the Celtics, I think, without Chris Middleton. I don't think they can win a title without Chris Middleton. But Giannis has to be on point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's got to be MVP. He's got to be last year's playoffs Giannis, right? We need a 40-point game at some point, which is a crazy ask. I get that. But it's not as crazy of an ask for Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? Like, a guy that, especially for what his skill set is in the playoffs, and that would be really figuring out how to dissect an opposing defense. And he seems to figure that out games three and four. So I don't think it's crazy to think he'll have a much more efficient night than he's had in the first two games of this series tomorrow as he gets A, back on the home floor, and B, a third crack at the Boston Celtics in a row. And as they say, the third time's the charm. So I would expect tomorrow night, Greg, is a Giannis party. This is really when he finds his groove, it seems, in playoff series.
Well, he always seems to respond. And that's that one thing I think I really appreciate about Giannis is that, you know, just when you think you've got an answer or you've taken away his mojo, like it doesn't last. Like, he always finds a way to bounce back and dig a little deeper for more. I did feel in game number two, he started pressing a little bit in that first half. Things weren't going his way, so he kept just trying to, you know, bash his head through a brick wall, and it didn't work. And the results weren't there, and guys weren't knocking down shots either. So it was just a kind of a collective dud in that first half, and things started to change in the second half. So holding Giannis down for a complete game is rare. You just don't see it terribly often. But if he does have a bad night, can the Bucks still win a game if he has an off night? I mean, that's where, you know, Grayson Allen, Pat Connaughton, they were so good in the Bulls series, sort of picking up the slack for Chris Middleton, but you can't rely on that, I think, night in and night out. Giannis, you can rely on night in and night out, and I think you need to, especially in the absence of Middleton.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Greg Matzik with the sports director at 620 WTMJ here on Bucks at 6. Greg, what's going on with Brooke Lopez offensively? I've been a little shocked by the lack of production we've seen from him in this Boston series. He's only taken 9 shots, which is the least of any Bucks starter through the first two games. Is it a matchup thing? Is it a confidence thing? What's your takeaway from the lack of Brooke Lopez we've seen offensively through two games?
Yeah, Mike Budenholzer, I thought I had an interesting comment following the game. Oftentimes, Booty, after a game, will just say, well, we got to look at the film, see what our options were. Did we miss him a couple of times? And he'll really just avoid the question and not give you anything. But after game two, he came out and said, no, we've got to look at that. We've got to find a way. Because I think the numbers you just mentioned are startling, considering that Brooke is fresh, and he played really well in those first two games against the Chicago Bulls, one win, one loss. He was sort of the consistent offensive force. And he's a monster, man. Like, he's just a gorilla. He's a huge body. So his ability to knock down threes pulls Robert Williams away from the basket, like, or Al Horford. Like, you don't run really through Brooke, but you get him touches. And he deserves to have touches, especially without Chris Middleton. So I was surprised at his lack of usage in game two. Game one, all right, you get the win. It's a double-digit win. You're going to have games like that where some of your best players, it's up and down. But game two, nothing was working, and Brooke wasn't even tried. So that seems like something to me that you've got to figure out a way to get all your bodies incorporated. But Brooke is a big one.
Yeah, no, he really is. And like you mentioned, Greg, I think that's why I'm so concerned, is the fact that he played so well in those first two games against Chicago. And I don't want to say he's disappeared, but he's had very minimal impact offensively in the first two games of this Boston series. And I feel like if the Bucks are going to win, especially as it looks like without Chris Middleton, you need him to do more offensively. And we have just not seen that up to this point. But still, it's a best of five series at this point, right? You get it back on home court. You've got to win three games. There's still plenty of time to turn it around for him. Last thing for you, Greg, before we let you go into the weekend, prior to game three tomorrow at Fiserv, is what do you expect in the Deer District? It's supposed to be a nice day. It's a Saturday. It's a midday game. Is this the first date this postseason that the Deer District is just packed to the brims? Because that's what I'm anticipating.
I think tomorrow is the launching point for what we came to know and love last year. It may not be as full as you saw it in the Suns series in the NBA Finals, but I think tomorrow is the launching point for what we hope is another long run to the NBA Finals.
Greg Matzik just made me sound like a genius because that's what I talked about in the first segment. Greg, nicely done, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy the weekend, and hopefully a couple bucks wins.
Sounds good, brother. Have a good one.
It's Greg Matzik. You can hear him on Wisconsin's Afternoon News on 620 WTMJ, our sister station here in Milwaukee, as well as occasionally on Bucks Talk after each Bucks game with Justin Garcia on these very stations, 94.5 and 100.5 ESPN. Chris, seriously, I'm very appreciative of the way we ended that conversation because he really did make me sound smarter than I am as he kind of said my point from the first segment. I feel a little overconfident all of a sudden. Chris, I might need you to set me down a couple
times. Yeah, don't get a big head now. It's just one segment, so.
I might get a big head. Who knows? Well, speaking of big heads, no, that's not a necessary shot. But speaking of big personalities, Joel Embiid is currently playing. He's back for the Philadelphia 76ers.
With a mask on.
But it's not as good as Bobby Portis's. But he does have a mask
close,
on
no.
here in Game 3 of the Philadelphia-Miami series. Sixers up 12-8 right now with about 6 minutes to go in the first quarter. We'll talk more about this series and all the other series going on in the NBA as we go around the NBA. That's next. It's Bucks at 6 on your Friday here on ESPN Wisconsin. Yeah, rolling on Bucks at 6 on your Friday here on ESPN Wisconsin. Alex Strope with you. Chris Larson, Alex Gravatt running the show. Oh, man. Ryan and Sheboygan on the First Midwest Bank text line, 800-990-3776. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, says round two took 3 days to begin. It should have started Saturday night, game two on Monday, with game three last night and game four this weekend. As we continue to talk about the long layoff here between game two and three between the Bucks and the Celtics here, as we wait all the way until tomorrow night to play, or tomorrow afternoon rather, to play game three after game two was played Tuesday in Boston. You get Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off, and you're back at it Saturday. We were complaining about it earlier. Ryan in Sheboygan seems to be on par with us there, but it is time now to go around the NBA each day. Chris Larson goes through the interwebs, sees what the heck has happened in the NBA in the last 24 hours. He throws it at me. I react. Chris reacts alongside with me. We predict. We analyze. We do it all. And now I say, boom, shakalaka.
And I say, he's on fire. And one of the players that the 76ers hopes is going to be on fire tonight is the return of Joel Embiid to the lineup, coming off that orbital fracture. Yeah. He's wearing a mask. But he is playing in the game tonight. Early on, the Sixers leading the Heat 16-8 with about 4 minutes to go in the first quarter. Embiid has 4 points, 1 of 3 from the field, including 2 of 2 from the foul line. He's also grabbed 4 rebounds, 7 for James Harden to start the game. So this is a game the Sixers need to have this game to, as they're already down 2-0 in this series. If you look at the series, it hasn't even been close so far. Both games have been blowouts. They've crushed the Sixers, or the Heat have been crushed the Sixers in the two straight games here. The Sixers, I think since they traded their best big man back up to the Nets, it's kind of coming back to bite them a little bit too. They don't have that consistent rim-rolling big man. James Harden isn't nearly as unstoppable as he has been. The Sixers really, really need this game tonight. Otherwise, we could be looking at a sweep if they don't win this one tonight.
Yep, that's what I alluded to last segment, Chris. This is the one series where it feels like a sweep could happen, but obviously getting an MVP favorite in Joel Embiid back into the lineup is huge for Philadelphia, right? I mean, you certainly could use his size, his presence. He's an MVP frontrunner for reasons. Obviously, he impacts the series maybe more than anybody else in this series, right? Like, Jimmy Butler, he's a borderline superstar. But James Harden, right? Like, borderline superstar at this point. He's falling off that cliff. He's not, you know, going up the cliff like maybe Jimmy Butler is. But, nobody impacts a series like Joel Embiid does, so it's great to have him on the floor. And, Chris, like we've seen too often this postseason, star players getting injured, right? We saw Devin Booker early, Chris Middleton for the Bucks, obviously. Joel Embiid goes down. I'm missing a bunch of names, but the NBA playoffs is hurt when their stars aren't in the games. And this series was going to be heavily impacted if Joel Embiid could not return. And whether this is a rushed return given the current standing of this series, Miami up 2-0 or what have you, the series is just better with Joel in the series. And now Philadelphia holding on to a 9-point lead here nearing the end of the first quarter. So it's a big thumbs up for Philadelphia. Does it change the outcome of the series? I don't think so. I think Miami's quite obviously the better team. They're better defensively. They're better offensively. They're more dynamic. They're more diverse offensively. So I think Miami still wins this series. I think I called a gentleman's sweep yesterday, Chris. I'm standing by that.
Yeah, we did talk about a little bit yesterday in terms of it being a sweep or being a five-game series, even if Embiid did come back to play. And just the Heat are just too deep, I think, for the Sixers. Harden hasn't been playing like he has been in previous years, like we mentioned yesterday's show.
What's up
back
with him, Chris? Hold on. Can I cut you off there? What's up with James Harden?
Who knows what's up with him? Like, we talked about it yesterday in the show, like, when you mention a series and you don't even mention his name, you're not even doing due diligence, because every series you talk about with him in the playoffs, you talk about James Harden and what's he doing on the court, and you haven't even mentioned him once in this series.
No, he's been completely underwhelming.
He's been MIA
really
pretty much.
Since he arrived.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. It's been ugly. But anyway.
But no,
let's go next.
They got Tyler Hero off the bench. Oladipo's been playing well off the bench. I just think the Heat are too deep, even with Embiid back in the lineup. I mean, granted, it's an 18-10 lead right now for the Sixers, but still in the first quarter. So we'll see what comes out of that. But like we said, you mentioned yesterday, sweep, if not five-game series. But moving on to the Western Conference game tonight, another 2-0 series lead for the Suns. They play the Mavericks tonight. The Suns, the backcourt duo of Devin Booker and Chris Paul, putting up big numbers in this series. They're lighting up the Mavericks, and they're hurting Luka on the defensive end as well in the second half of these games. Phoenix has pretty much been able to exploit Luka, put Dallas in a tough spot because they need Doncic on the floor for his offensive brilliance, but he's nowhere to hide him on defense. So that the Suns front line, too, has been superior over the Mavs in this series as well. I think they've got a big higher rebounding rate than the Dallas in this series as well. Yeah. So we saw the Pelicans, they were outmatched on the offensive end against the Suns in the first round, but they were able to crash the boards on the offensive end. But the Mavs just haven't been able to do that. I think they're like 24th in offensive rebounding this season as well. So
does anybody call you stats, Chris? Because I think
stats?
I might call you stats, Larson.
Sure, yeah, go
on.
Ahead. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah,
I, think I, stats, I love me a good
Larson,
stat. Yeah, stats don't lie, so.
You do. You do. And I love a good stat, too, but you just bring them constantly, man. And I appreciate that because you make me sound smarter. So, selfishly, thank you, stats. But, yeah, no, you're right. Like, the Suns, as we said yesterday, we had Austin from L.A. call in and talk all about the Suns, right? Like, I think they are the best team in the West. I really do, now that they're fully healthy with D-Book back. But I think Luka steals a game tonight. As it goes back to Dallas, I think Luka just has a game we remember, and Luka finally gets a win in the second round of the NBA playoffs. It's a fun series. It's a fun matchup, obviously, with a bunch of superstars. There's probably the most superstardom power in this series of all of them in the playoffs right now, right? I'm thinking Warriors, Memphis is close, right? Ja, Clay, Draymond, Steph. But I think this series has the most superstardom, which is what makes it so fun. And Luka has, I don't believe, he hasn't won a game in the second round yet, right? So it's his first time in the second round. So I think tonight is the night he steals one, but I think that's another series that only goes five because Phoenix is just finding a groove. And that was very evident, both offensively and defensively, in the first two games of this series. Phoenix looks like the favorite to win it all. It pains me to say that, but without Chris Middleton, I cannot confidently say Milwaukee's that favorite right now. I think Phoenix has to be the favorite to win it all now that they're really rolling. Do you agree? You disagree? Where are you at, Chris? Who's the favorite in your mind?
I like the Suns and the Warriors. It pretty much switches off for me every day depending upon how they play as a team.
Yeah,
The Warriors just have so much offensive firepower when you get that lineup out there that we've talked about previously on this show. But if you look at the Suns, though, too, like they're shooting over 40% from three. Like all the five of their starters, I think, are their. Let's look at the stats here real quick. Let me bring it up.
Here go stats.
Yeah, Suns. They got five players who are shooting at least 40% from beyond the arc. So, and they're scoring like 125 points per game in this series against Dallas. So they got an offensive firepower as well. But that, we mentioned on yesterday's show too, that next series in the Western Conference Finals, if it gets to that Warriors Suns, is going to be one to remember. I think so. But getting back to tonight's game against Mavericks. I still like the Suns in this game, even though I think the Mavs role players should perform a little bit better now that they're going to be have the series back in Dallas. But if the Mavs get down early in this game, they might have to speed up the pace in desperation mode to maybe try and win this game. But I think Luka's obviously going to get his tonight, as you talked about. But I don't think he's going to be the key to this game. I think it's going to be the role players because they're going to need to perform a lot better than they did when they played in Phoenix, I think.
Do you define Jalen Brunson as a role player, or is he like the true number two option for Dallas?
I think he's the true number two guy. I don't see him as a guy who's like a role player on the team. He's a true number two guy, I believe.
Okay, I tend to agree. I was just I was curious what your stance was on that. That's interesting, right? Like, I could totally see it happening. I imagine Phoenix is favorite. I don't have the line in front of me. I'll pull it up quick, but. I imagine Phoenix is favored, even on the road, even with the 2-0 lead. Actually, Dallas is favored by a point.
1.5, I got, enough. Yeah.
Wow. Well, now I'm starting to think Phoenix might win this game, Chris, because Vegas is telling me Dallas will. Now I'm a little bit confused. I'm going to stick with my gut. Dallas wins tonight. It's going to be close, but we're going to have some Luka magic. But I think the Suns win the series in a fellow gentleman sweep. I think Miami, Philly, and Phoenix, Dallas, gentleman sweep. Five games for both of those series. The other two series, Memphis and Golden State, and Milwaukee and Boston, each go at least six, if not seven. That's where I stand as of today.
And that's it for around the NBA today. As we look at the other series,
there we go. We get back into it. Obviously, tomorrow with the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics getting ready for game number 3 at Fiserv Forum. It's exciting. What are you doing tomorrow? Are you going to the Deer District? 800-990-3776. Give me a ring on that. Also asking you on Twitter right now, which you can find at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison, or at Alex_Strofe. Which team will Aaron Rodgers win more rings with? The Packers as a quarterback or the Bucks as a part owner? I'm actually shocked at the results. We'll get into those next. It's Bucks at 6 here on ESPN Wisconsin.
Back with more from the hardwood next on ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Bucks at 6, wrapping up your week on a Friday. Love that. Happy Friday, everybody. Alex Strofe hanging out with you. Stats Larson, Chris Larson running the show. Alex Gravatt. Holding it down in Madison at the Park Bank ESPN Madison Studios. We are live from the Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all studios at Radio City here in Milwaukee as we continue to preview Game 3 tomorrow between the Bucks and the Celtics. But with so many off days, we had to get a little creative with our poll question today. So we're talking Aaron Rodgers, who, of course, a part owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, as well as the quarterback, of course, as of the Green Bay Packers. We asked the question, which team will Aaron Rodgers win more rings with? The Packers as quarterback or the Bucks as part owner? He has one with each. 84% say he will win more rings with the Bucks. Now, I wonder if people are looking at this and thinking, okay, he's going to be the owner of the Bucks long after his career's over. He's due to win another one. Or is it, as long as he's in the NBA, or excuse me, as long as he's in the NFL playing for the Packers, he will also just win one with the Bucks, and the Packers won't win another one. I don't know. However you interpret it is fine. I agree with the majority here because I think the Bucks have a great chance to win it all again this year. But that also relies on the fact of Chris Middleton coming back. We talked with Greg Matzik from WTMJ a bit earlier in the program, and he said, yeah, I don't think they can win a title without Chris Middleton, but they can advance another round without Chris Middleton. And I agree with that. I still believe the Bucks are the better team in this series, even without Chris Middleton. And they are more diverse offensively, as we've talked about quite a bit the last couple days. I think Giannis, and actually, I don't think this. I know this. I know Giannis, no matter who's on the floor, is the best player on the floor. And that is a clear advantage for Milwaukee. And as good as Jason Tatum is, or as good as Jaylen Brown was in the beginning of Game 2, they're not Giannis. And Giannis just has that extra power to him and that extra effect about him that just clearly shows he is world class. He is, at least of active players that are still playing in the NBA playoffs, he is the best player in the world. But we haven't seen that yet in the series. We haven't seen Giannis flex his guns and say, I'm the best player in the world. Yeah, he went for a triple-double in the first game, but he also missed almost 20 shots in that game. I believe this weekend, when Giannis and company return to Fiserv Forum, their home floor, with home court advantage on their side, Giannis will finally find the breaking point against this Boston defense, where he's able to read through it, he's able to maneuver around it, and he's able to put up a 35-40-point game. And maybe even a 35-40-point triple-double. Because Giannis has the ability to do that at any given moment. He's that good. It's an interesting concept. It's an interesting dilemma, I guess I could say, for Milwaukee, right? You don't have your second option offensively, so you rely heavier on Giannis. And I find it fascinating. I asked three different people the same question this week. Which Bucks starter needs to step up most? All three of them answered Giannis. Despite a triple-double in Game 1, despite being the leading scorer in Game 2, you need more out of the best player in the world, which it seems unfair to ask that, but it actually is the correct answer. You need efficient Giannis offensively, and you need him to be the defensive player of the year. We know he can be defensively. And I believe this is when he finally puts it together. Because it's a fascinating stat we've talked about a bunch over the course of the last couple weeks. And that is Coach Mike Budenholzer. This is his 11th series as the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. In the previous 10, the winner of Game 3 has gone on to win every series that Budenholzer has coached for the Milwaukee Bucks. Wild stat. So Game 3 just becomes that much more important. And Bobby Portis knows how important it is to win a game on the road as the lower seed. They win Game 1. They steal home court advantage. But now you return home. You can't let Boston steal it back. Bobby Portis and how important it is to protect home court.
We got one. So now the main objective is when you steal home court and you have home court, now it's our turn to protect home court. Everybody has a sense of urgency that it's time to go. We have a big opportunity on our hands coming up this weekend.
I love that Bobby Portis used the term sense of urgency. It took a while for the Bucks to wake up in that opening round series against Chicago. They had to drop a game, which they did in Game 2. And after that, it was wake-up call central for the Milwaukee Bucks. They didn't look back. It was foot on the throat, foot on the accelerator, full speed ahead against Chicago. Boston is clearly a better team than Chicago. But I expect more of the same this weekend in Game 3 and next week in Game 4. Milwaukee's going to wake up. They're going to dissect what Boston did so well in Game 2, and what they did well even in Game 1. And they're going to fundamentally understand that the pressure is now on. I said earlier, I believe the playoffs really get going for the Bucks tomorrow. because there was so much pressure on this game three. You got to win it if you want to keep home court. You got to win it, at least what the statistics tell us thus far, if you want to win the series. Because every time a game three has been won, with Mike Budenholzer as the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, that team has gone on to win the series. Hopefully the Bucks can do the same tomorrow. 2:30 tip-off from Fiserv. Tomorrow you can hear that game beginning at 2 o'clock on our sister station, 620 WTMJ, and right here in Madison on 100.5 ESPN. That does it for us tonight. This has been Bucks at 6 on ESPN Wisconsin.